Name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the fourth month, the 21st day, the year 2019, and it's Resurrection Day. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary.
Hallelujah.
And all the angels and saints and Catholics and catechumens and men of goodwill, all 10 of you who are out there, wherever you are. Now, I hope there's more than 10. Don't let the apostate Jews lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. Now, I'm going to give you two biblical quotes, and I'll give you a hint of what this lecture is going to be. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I set before you the way of life, a path in the wilderness. And that's from Jeremiah 21:8 and Luke 3:4. A path in the wilderness. The title of this lecture is The Rule of Mary's Little Remnant. And this is probably the most important thing. I always say that about all my lectures, but this one is like, it's the three pillars I always keep telling everybody about. That when you come to God, before you can even believe in the faith the way you should or live a moral life, you need to pray. You need to pray to God. First, you got to believe in God. Then you got to pray to God. Then you got to do penance, and then you got to study the faith. Because without prayer and penance, you're not going to have the proper dispositions to believe what you should believe and to live a moral life and to obey God's Ten Commandments and to save your soul. So the three pillars, prayer, penance, and studying the Catholic faith. Now, the Rule of Mary's Little Remnant incorporates everything you need to do to save your soul and to be in heaven with God forever. Everything you need to do. And in that order, if you follow this rule faithfully, you will save your soul. And I'm going to go over it. I'm not going to go over everything in detail on the rule, but the rule is going to be posted up. Also, when this lecture is going to be posted up, so you can actually read the rule yourself. But I'm going to go over some important parts about it. And I made this rule primer. It's only for Mary's Little Remnant, but I really made it in mind for all laymen, even for everybody, for all Catholics. Now, if I was the next pope or whoever the next pope is, I would recommend highly that this rule gets binded down upon all Catholics. All Catholics. Unless you're in a religious order and you have a stricter rule or a different rule. So, laymen in particular, but a lot of your religious, I'm not going against the rule of Benedict or the other rule, St. Dominic's rule. You can keep those rules. This is mostly for laymen and even for clerics and priests that don't have another rule. And it's, to me, it's that important. Now, maybe there's some things in this rule that are a little bit overly. There's more in this rule than I would have binding down to all laymen. But I'm gonna to start out anyway. Mary's Little Remnant is a religious lay order, and I'm the superior of Mary's Little Remnant. All right, and I'm allowed to form my own lay order in the Catholic Church without the approval of a pope in the beginning, as long as I appeal to a pope to confirm it. Now, there's no pope, and we haven't had any pope since 1130. So you can look at my article, No Pope Since 1130 in the Catholic Church. I'm not going to go over all of that now. But so I'm the superior of Mary's Little Remnant. And so people who want to belong to this order have to obey this rule. But if you don't belong to Mary's Little Remnant, you don't have to obey this rule. But there's certain things you do have to do. And I'm going to mention that as we go along here, even if you don't belong to this rule. So we also appeal to a future Roman pontiff to approve this rule. Now, The universal law for daily prayers requires morning, afternoon, and night prayers, prayers before and after meals, prayers for the poor souls in purgatory, and other prayers for certain days. However, MLR rules requires more prayers. The universal law for fasting allows for consumption of alcohol on all fast days, but the MLR rule does not. The universal law for studying the Catholic faith is once a week outside of Lent and several times a week during Lent. But the MLR rule for studying is every day. The universal law does not impose a 3-day liquid fast during Lent, but MLR rule does. So there's certain things in here that are stricter than what your laymen all have to do. If you're not praying at all, you're damned. You're going to hell, period. You know, if you're not doing sufficient prayer, you're going to hell. If you're not doing penance or sufficient penance, you're going to hell. If you're not studying the faith at all or sufficiently, you're going to hell. There's no hope for you. Now, this rule is not too difficult for laymen to do. We practice. Us brothers here had jobs and work on ranches and farms and all that. So it works in very nicely. And we've been working on it for years to try to fine-tune it. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about in the rule is sacramentals, what you should wear. Now, if you're a member of Mary's Little Remnant, you have to wear the St. Benedict crucifix, which also has the St. Benedict medal on it to ward off the demons and has the St. Benedict prayer, the initials of the St. Benedict prayer on the back. It's called the St. Benedict crucifix. You need to wear the miraculous medal of our Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, conceived without sin, the miraculous medal. You need to wear a Sacred Heart badge, as it's, you see it here, pinned on the left side of your chest, right here. And then you need to wear the St. Philomena cord, which you can't see. I'm wearing that around my waist. It's a cord made up of red and white. The red is called the St. Philomena cord. The red is for martyrdom, and the white is for purity of soul and body. And that's worn under the clothes. Now, if you're allowed to and your boss doesn't tell you you can't, and there's no reason anybody trying to tell you you can't, you wear these medals on the outside to show your faith to the public. Now, if you're working for a boss who doesn't want you to wear religious medals, then you got to wear them underneath. You can put the badge underneath, you can put the medals underneath, and then you don't show them. You know, we got to go along with the current laws, be prudent. Even the early Christians had to hide their faith to prevent from being martyred. They weren't denying it. Hiding the faith is one thing, denying it is another thing. There were some Christians that were in Nero's household they didn't even know about, but they weren't denying. You can never deny the faith, but you could hide it, or if the state law doesn't allow it, then you can't do it. So then you have to then keep it under your clothes if your boss doesn't allow it, or the place where you work, or if you're working a kind of job where this is going to get in the way because you're cutting wood or whatever, then you got to put it underneath your clothing or sometimes take it off. Probably just put it underneath your clothing under a tight shirt if your work doesn't allow you to do that. Now, also, although if you have a white-collar job and you have to wear a suit and a tie, you don't want to wear this over a suit and a tie. Okay, so if you're a member of Mary's Little Remnant and you have a suit and a tie job, a white-collar job, just get a lapel pin that has like a Sacred Heart on it or a crucifix or a St. Benedict lapel pin. Put it on your lapel of your suit coat so you can show it. And now if your boss doesn't let you wear it, then you just put it underneath. You can still be wearing these underneath your suit, though. So if you have a white-collar job, you can wear these under your suit, but just try to wear something on your lapel that's uniquely Catholic. Not even just so they think you're a Protestant Catholic. Generally a crucifix, but or a Sacred Heart, a Jesus and Mary, something uniquely Catholic on your lapel. All right, so that's as far as sacramentals are concerned. Now, inside your house, you want to have enough holy objects inside your house showing so that when visitors come in, they can know you're Catholic. You go into most of your nominal Catholic people's houses today, and you don't even know they're Catholic. You don't even know they believe in God. You know, they got sports pictures up there. They got secular pictures. I'm not against having sports pictures or secular pictures. Those things are fine, too. But you have to have enough Catholic pictures and statues in your home, in the public, even to show the people that you're Catholic, okay? And unless the state forbids it. Now, if the state forbids it, what you do then is you hide it if they're going to come check out your house, and when they're gone, you take it out from hiding and put it out in the open again. Then if they're coming in your house, you make it so you can hide them real quick. Because sometimes you have to do that. The state does not allow you to have any religious items. Sometimes they even had a high Catholic priest under floorboards, so they won't get caught. You have to tell a non-malicious falsehood to deceive them. There's no priest in here. So you can hide your Catholic objects if you have to. But in most cases, if you don't, or when they leave, when someone comes into your house, they got to know that you're Catholic. We had one guy, and he was arguing with us, and we're in this place. He said, "You got nothing in here Catholic. I don't even see anything even religious." He says, "I got a crucifix in here." I said, "Where?" He says, "Up in that corner over there, he had a little crucifix about this big on the wall, about that big." I says, "You can't even see the thing." I says, "What is Matthew 6:21? Where thy heart is, there is thy treasure also. Where thy heart is, there is thy treasure also." If you love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind, I think that's Matthew 25:32 or one of the verses. Above all things, you're going to want to show them off. You're going to want to let people know that that's number one in your heart. And you can have it in your house so people are going to know. So you want to have an altar too, if possible. Have a little altar in your house where you do your prayers before the altar in your house. Okay? Now, daily prayer schedule. We read in Luke 18:1, we ought to pray and not to faint. Proverbs 17:16, he that refuses to learn will fall into evils. All right, so here's your daily prayers and study schedule. Now, I'm going to give you some general rules when you're praying the divine offices. The divine offices are prayed kneeling when possible, except for Vespers on the Lord's Day and other holy days of obligation. If possible, the office should be prayed before an altar or a holy place in your home. If not possible, then it can be prayed while riding in a car or walking, etc. The offices are to be prayed in the vernacular so that the layman can understand what they are praying. On holy days of obligation, pray the Lord's Day offices. The office of Compline during Lent is prayed with arms out, arms extended, except for on the Lord's Day. The office of the Blessed Virgin Mary is prayed on the following feast days. Look at the rule and you'll get the list of all the days when you have to pray the office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The office of the dead is prayed on All Souls and Purgatory Day. Now here we give you the schedule of your prayers, your daily prayers. Morning prayers. The morning offering. Now, before we start on this, you need to get our Catholic prayer book, which was revised by Mary's Little Remnant, and it's got all the updated prayers in there, and it has everything you're going to need, and you're going to need that book so you can have all the prayers all in one book. All you need is that book. It contains all the prayers you need in there, plus more even. Okay, so in morning prayers, you do the morning offering. That's number one. Number two, the prayer for protection at the beginning of the day, which I composed that prayer by RGMI. Then you pray the St. Patrick breastplate. Then you pray prime, the divine office for the day. That's the first office for the day, prime is called. If you did not receive Holy Communion, then pray the spiritual communion. And after Holy Communion or spiritual communion, pray the prayers that I have listed in here. You'll see there's two prayers I want you to pray after you receive Holy Communion or you do your spiritual communion. Now, prayers and study within the day. That's your morning prayers. Unless specified, these prayers and studies can be done anytime during the day and may be done while walking or riding in a car, etc. 1. The Angelus, beginning the day after the octave day of Pentecost until Resurrection Day, or the Regina Caeli, beginning Resurrection Day through the octave day of Pentecost, prayed in the morning, at noon, and at evening. 3. The Rosary, 5 decades. Just 5 decades. So the Rosary. Not the all 15. The Angelic Chaplet. The St. Francis of Assisi Prayer for Peace. The Litany for the weekday. We'll show you which every weekday you do a different litany. There's 7 weekdays, 7 litanies. The Roman Martyrology reading for the day. And then you do your Bible reading, which requires you to read 3 chapters from the Bible every day. You can see my MLR Daily Bible reading schedule. And you'll see in the manner and method in which to read the Holy Scriptures. You must listen, watch, or read about the Catholic faith from items on my St. John the Baptist website for at least 15 minutes a day. If you don't have time to read it, if you're riding in a car, you can put on an audio. I got audios, I got videos, and I got readings. So you can take your choice of what you want to do at least 15 minutes a day. If you're going, a good thing too, if you're going or two from work, you can probably find out, depending on how far your travels are to work, you may be able to get your rosary in on the way, your chaplet on the way back, and even if you have an audio to listen to 15 minutes. So you can do a lot of this, and I do. I do my rosary and chaplet when I do my daily walk. I walk about 2 miles a day, and I do my rosary and my chaplet when I walk. And I walk around town, and that's when I get that done. Now, you want to also do a daily blessing of equipment before using your computer and all other equipment for the day. It blesses all your equipment, printers, any type of other equipment you may be using, iPhones, iPads, tablets. The prayer before using the internet, for the day, very important. Before you get on that internet for the day, we have it in the prayer book, prayer before using it. You got to protect yourself from any poisons, tricks, traps, deceptions, and over-curiosity. The internet is full of bad things, and it has some good things. So it has a good purpose, but there's a lot of bad stuff on there, too. So you got to do that. Okay, prayers before and after meals. The guardian angel prayer for travel before traveling. So the first time you get in your car and travel, you pray your guardian angel prayer for the day. Now, to see the rosary schedule, on some days you pray the joyful mystery. On some days you pray the sorrowful mysteries. On other days you pray the glorious mysteries. Look at the schedule to find out what those days are. Now, night prayers. At nighttime, the first thing you want to do is examine your conscience regarding your thoughts and actions for that day. Very good thing to do. It's not like a big thing. What did I do today? Well, I do in the morning too. It's part of her prayers. You're going to find out. I say, Lord, if I commit a sin or a fault during this day, make me aware of it forthwith so that I may confess it and amend my life and do penance for it. Right away, make me aware of it. And at nighttime, you take a little bit of time to say, did I commit any sins or faults this day? It doesn't have to be a major thing. It's just anything you did during that day. Then you do your compline, which is now your prime and compline are your supremely divine, beautiful offices. They're so good. I mean, so much for protection. If you these prayers composed by the church, going back almost from the beginning of the church and taken from all these churches that kept the people holy, they're beautiful prayers. So anyway, you do compline for the day, and then you end it off by the evening prayer of thanksgiving, which you'll find in the prayer book. Now, these are your special prayers that you just pray weekly. Not weekly, but weekly during the week. Anyway, unless you're weak and you're in bed, I mean, but you still pray, even when you're physically weak. That's when you should even pray more. Or anyway, now, Holy Mass, the Lord's Day, and other days of obligation. So you have to attend, your obligation is to attend Mass on the Lord's Day and Holy Days of Obligation if you have a Catholic Mass to attend, which today we have no Catholic priest that I know of, so there's no Catholic Masses you can attend, which includes prayers before and after Mass and after Holy Communion. The one prayer required before Mass is prayer to God the Holy Spirit. The one prayer required to pray after receiving Holy Communion or Spiritual Communion is the daily prayer after Holy Communion or Spiritual Communion. Now, you pray the only time you pray Vespers is on the Lord's Day and Holy Days of Obligation. That's the only time you pray Vespers. So really, the only divine offices you're really doing is prime and compline, except for Vespers on the Lord's Day and Holy Days of Obligation. Okay, now, the Litany of the Most Holy Name of Jesus is prayed on the Lord's Day. The Litany of the Holy Spirit is prayed on the second weekday. The Litany of the Good Saint Anne is prayed on the third weekday. The Litany of Saint Joseph on the fourth weekday. The Litany of Saint Michael the Archangel on the fifth weekday. The Litany of the Sacred Heart on the sixth weekday. And the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the seventh weekday. Now, for your monthly prayers. Every once a month, we do a holy hour of reparation, and we do what we call the long exorcism prayer. The holy hour of reparation is on the first, sixth weekday of the month, unless it's transferred. You're going to have to look at our calendar for that. Also, I highly recommend, if you're following this rule, to get our calendar, because our calendar goes along with the rule. Okay, now, so that's the holy hour of reparation. That's also in the prayer book. And on the first, seventh weekday of the month, we pray the long exorcism prayer, which that's also in the prayer book. That's very important. Don't underestimate these prayers. This keeps the devil at bay. When you do the long exorcism prayer once a month, it punishes the devil, the damned humans, and all the living human beings who put curses on you and persecuted you in the previous month. It tortures and punishes all of them for what they did to you. And it also grants you protection for the upcoming month. Very important. Like St. Paul said, a wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. I think that's Ephesians, or Galatians? 6,
I don't know.
What is it? It's Ephesians? 6 Ephesians 6:12. That's your number one biggest enemy, exterior enemy, is the devils and the damned humans, and witches and warlocks putting curses on you. Now, if these prayers cannot be prayed on the prescribed day, then pray them at the first available day. Now we're going to talk about seasonal prayers. Special seasonal prayers like in Advent. Advent prayers, for the Advent prayers, see the Catholic prayer book for our special Advent prayers. You have to have their prayer book for that. And also we talk about, in this rule, about on Christmas decorations, on how to put them up, what to put up, and how to take them down and all that. We go over that in the rule. You'll see that in the rule. Now, during Lent, the special prayers during Lent are The Stations of the Cross on every sixth week, on the sixth weekdays in Lent. The Penitential Psalms each week during Lent on a day of your choosing or spread out within a week. So sometime within that week, you got to pray all the Penitential Psalms. Consecrate yourself or renew your consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary on the feast day of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is the sixth weekday of the fifth week in Lent. Using the consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, I have in my prayer book. Holy Week prayers and services are listed in the Holy Week schedule, which we have in the rule. I'm not going to go over here. You got to look at the rule for the Holy Week schedule. If you have a priest, however, a Catholic priest, you got to follow his schedule. All right, now these are just other seasonal prayers. The litany for the 40 hours devotion is on the Ember Days. We have a novena in honor of the Most Holy Face of Jesus, which ends the day before Shrove Day. The main intention for this novena is to gain all the graces and other helps necessary to make a good penitential Lent. Then we have a novena to the Holy Spirit, which ends on the Vigil of Pentecost. Then we do a novena to St. Anne, which ends on the day before the feast day of St. Anne. Then we have the prayer to St. Joseph for the 10th month, which is prayed after the rosary on each Lord's Day during the 10th month. Then we have the Office of the Dead, which is prayed on All Souls in Purgatory Day. Then we have the 30-day prayer for the souls in purgatory, which has a prayer each day of the 11th month. That's the All Souls in Purgatory month, too. Then we have the novena for the souls in purgatory, which ends the day before the first Lord's Day in Advent. The main intention for this novena is to gain all the graces and other helps necessary to make a good penitential Advent. And then we have the Litany of the Saints on the Vigil of Pentecost. Now, we have special occasion prayers. When you get any new equipment into your home, major pieces of equipment like TV sets, computers, cars, consecrate all your equipment or your property. You buy a home, consecrate all of your major equipment and property. We have the consecration prayers in the old book. Now, we also have a special birthday blessing I composed whoever's the head of the household can give a blessing to the person whose birthday it is or the superior of the order. I call it RGMI birthday blessing. It's to be given by a priest if possible, if not, then by the spiritual head of the flock or family if possible, if not, then by the next in charge. All right, then for other special occasion prayers, there's a lot of other special occasions you're going to find out, and you'll see it in the prayer book. It's in the Catholic prayer book, our Catholic prayer book. Now, I'm not going to list all the days of obligation for the members of Mary's Little Remnant, but we went back to the way the church used to have it when they had more days of obligation than we today. Today, they got rid of almost all the days of obligation. You hardly have anything like six. We find out in the history of the church, there was like as much as high 20s and low 30s, and some up even in the 40s of holy days of obligation. So they really had a lot of, the reason they got rid of them probably is because they said we're living in non-Catholic countries and you're not going to be able to go to Mass or observe the holy day. Well, that doesn't, so what? If you can't do it, you can't do it. You're not bound to go to Mass or stay home if you got to work, fine. But if you could, then take off the holy day of obligation. But in Catholic nations, when they limited the holy days of obligation, in Catholic nations, that's a crime. It's a sin. It's a sin against the saints and the holy days. It's like a sacrilege when you got rid of them in a Catholic nation. Because in a Catholic nation, the nation could enforce it. For example, in Catholic nations, they used to have off a week before and a week after Christmas, a week before and a week after Resurrection Day, and they used to have like even all of Lent, they would close no military combats, and they would have special things. So they had all these rules where you had a lot of days off. On our list, we have 31 days of obligation, holy days of obligation. Some of them are on the Lord's Day. All Lord's Days are holy days of obligation. But if you can't keep the holy day of obligation because your boss does not allow it, then you can't keep it. You're dispensed from your obligation. But if you could go to Mass, at least go to Mass if you have a Catholic Mass to go to. If not, then say some special prayers during that day when you come home from work or before work. You can read the rule more about the holy days of obligation. Also, you can read about what kind of work you can do. There's certain types of work you could do on days of obligation and certain types of work you can't do. You got to read my article titled The Law of No Unnecessary Work on the Lord's Day and Other Days, Holy Days of Obligation. Read my article on that. Now, rules for penitential days. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I chastise my body and bring into subjection, lest perhaps when I preach the gospel to others, I myself become a castaway. To understand that penance is necessary for salvation, you got to read my book, Penance is Necessary for Salvation. That's going to give you really all the rules that you need. I don't need to really go over that here now. Now, for fasting rules, I'll just read quickly here what we have. Abstinence means when we do our penitential days, we fast and we do practice abstinence, both. And then during Lent, we also take up other things. I'm going to read that right here now a little bit so you know what our rules are from Ears Little Remnant. Abstinence means no meat, gravy, soup made from meat, or lard may be taken. The 6 week day is a day of abstinence for all Catholics unless it is also a feast day of obligation. Total fast, no food or no drink, including water. Liquid fast, no solid food is allowed. Regular fast, one meal is allowed. Light fast, two meals are allowed. Eucharistic fast, no food or drink except water may be taken from 3 hours before Holy Communion until 15 minutes after. Alcohol and dessert. The general rule for the Universal Church does not ban alcohol and dessert on fasting days. However, some religious orders, such as MLR, our order, ban alcohol or desserts on some fasting days. No eating between meals on fasting days. Eating outside of the allowed meal or meals on fasting days is not permitted. Water, coffee, tea, fruit juice, and sodas are allowed. Milk or puree juices such as tomato juice, V8, or smoothies are not allowed outside the meal except for milk or cream in coffee or tea. All right, now there's other important special rules regarding your penitential days that I'm going to have you get the rule to read that. I'm just going to give you the subheadings here. Special penitential day rules for MLR, liquid fast, temporary reduction of a penitential day, transferal of penitential days, birthdays or wedding anniversaries, children ages 5 to 9, pregnant or nursing women, heavy labor or poor health, alcohol, non-fasting penances on penitential days, Lent deprivation, and dispensations. You need to get the rule to read all those. Now, basically, on non-penitential days, it's simple. There are times when Catholics must do penance and times when they must not do penance. There's a time to fast, to feast, and to eat normally. 2 Esdras 8:10, go eat fat meats and drink sweet wine, because it is the holy day of the Lord, and be not sad, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. St. Paul says, the living God giveth us abundantly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17, hence St. Paul not only knew how to do without, but also how to abound. I speak not as if it were for want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content therewith. I know both how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things in him who strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:11-13. All days outside of the penitential days are non-penitential days. On non-penitential days, you must not do voluntary penances. You must enjoy feasting and other good things in moderation and with as much comfort as possible, and only endure mandatory, necessary, and accidental penances. Those things are all mentioned in here. You'll know what they are when you get the rule and my penance book. If the non-penitential day is also a feast day of obligation, then physical exercise must be limited to a minimum. For modesty rules, see Mary Little Remnant's article, Modesty Rules for Men and Women. And, of course, when you do all these things and follow this rule, this is what enables you to obey God's Ten Commandments and all of God's decrees on faith and morals. It helps you to believe everything you need to believe on the dogmas of faith, and helps you to live a moral life. And it helps you to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy when necessary and if possible. And this is how you save your soul. But this is the pillar and the pinnacle. Prayer, penance, studying the Catholic faith, then good works, obedience to his commandments, all flow from that. You cannot, in somewhere, you can't even, God says that somewhere, unless you're living a virtuous life and praying to God and all that, you can't even have all the grace you need to believe all the things you need to believe. Or even to live a moral life, because you could be committing one or two mortal sins. So, in other words, let that be a lesson to everybody out there. You need to get the rule of Mary's Little Remnant. You need to get the calendar. And you're going to also have to get the prayer book. All right? So we're praying for the conversion and repentance of all those out there who are listening to us. And for us here, few Catholics, that we may be edified and strengthened and stay on the right road and not fall away. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Primus Christum surrexisse a mortuis bene, tu nobis vicor ex
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.